So now we are actually going to move into our question and answer phase. So we have a number of different questions, and we want to make sure, Dennis, are you on the line also with Lori?
I believe so.
And Lori, do we still have you on the line?
Okay, I think I'm there.
Okay, I have both Dennis and Lori on the line. Great. Okay, so a couple different questions that we have here. And Dennis, this is really a question for you probably. And then Lori, you know, you might have a different perspective or similar, or you might want to add on. The question is what is the difference between high-risk and low-risk foods?
High-risk has been identified, it's high-risk facilities, and it's based on the food products that you manufacture. And so there is a definition, and I can try to find the link for people to go to. Essentially, if a food category or product has been linked to a foodborne outbreak, facilities that manufacture that food become high-risk facilities. You can also become a high-risk facility if you manufacture a low-risk food, but your facility has had issues in the past with, say, environmental pathogens or things like that. So there's several ways that you get put into one category or the other, but it's a facility, not the food.
Okay. Lori, did you have anything that you might want to add onto that at all?
Well, I guess, is he saying it that would we be high risk as cheesemakers because we're dealing with milk?
Yeah, so cheesemakers are considered high risk, spinach producers, anybody that's been involved in an outbreak. So large, small, if you manufacture a food that's been linked to an outbreak, that's a high risk food.
So the next question that we have that's been asked is, what are the metrics by which FDA may recognize training as adequate to prepare a qualified individual?
As far as I know, the training, the only one I know of that will be recognized by them, and this isn't to say that there aren't others, is the training that's being developed by the Preventive Controls Alliance. I'm not sure about other HACCP courses or things that have other people may have attended in the past. So all I know is that there's been mention. The reason they funded this group is to develop these training materials to inform people how to make these plans. So that's the only one I'm familiar with at this point.
So in other words, this may be a good area where if people have questions about that, to actually, if they're putting comments into FDA on the drug preventive controls, they may want to ask FDA for more clarity on this.
Yeah, find that there should be contact individuals available for questions about the act,
right.
And that would be a reasonable question. And it might be found in a frequently asked questions section as well.
Okay. So, Lori, I have a question for you. As a small artisan cheesemakers, what types of training do you feel that you and your industry needs in order to help you be successful as an artisan cheesemaker?
Well, that's a really good question and a very broad one. I think from a food safety point of view, the microbiology and the sanitation are really good classes just even start with. People often say, you know, that they want to be cheesemakers, and the very first thing I like to remind them is if you don't like washing a lot of things all the time, you're not going to like cheesemaking. As far as the artisan part and getting back to old world cheesemaking techniques, they're really, I mean, you're maybe more able to speak to this than me, Dr. D'Amico, because you really have to kind of search that stuff out. The classes that I see being offered by WSU, they're really good, but I think they're a higher, more commercial level of teaching and training than what I would sort of want to learn as an artisan cheese making with the hands-on techniques. So I don't have a wealth of information, but I'm sure there are others that do.
Thank you, Lori. So one of the questions that we have here is, do we anticipate that Tyentin Farm would be a qualified facility?
Well, it depends on how they draw that monetary level, but I do think that, you know, even if we're not qualified right now, we would probably need to participate in all these things soon.
Good. One of the other questions we have from the audience is, and Dennis, this might be a good one for you too, is these exemptions are based on gross income, and the income will include the milk check, you know, so the milk being processed off the farm, hay, maple syrup, vegetables. Are dairy farms getting caught up by being above the income trigger?
The way it's written is that food sales, so the revenue will include food sales of all products grown or raised for human or animal consumption, or to be used as ingredients in any of those items. So it's tricky to read that, but the way it sounds is that any food that can be eaten but that's raised on the farm for human or animal consumption will be counted towards the gross revenues.
Yeah.
So again, this is a really good example of an item where, you know, if FDA is seeking input, you know, so both our small operation and interested parties might really want to make sure that they're providing comment into FDA, again, either for clarity or if you have a rationale that the FDA should make sure that they're considering. I mean, FDA truly does want to hear from the industry and from consumers out there about the draft rules and getting information to them to help make better clarity on what they have currently in their draft. So I encourage people to submit comments.
Absolutely. That's why they keep pushing it later and later, is because they're trying to encourage more comments.
Right. So one last question I have is probably more for you, Dennis, but is what is cross-contact versus cross-contamination?
Yeah, so that's just a wording. So we used to say, essentially, it's cross-contact is cross-contamination with an allergen. So it's just an easier, well, I don't know, depending on who you talk to, it's an easier way of differentiating cross-contamination from a microorganism from that of an allergen. So you can just say cross-contact, and everyone will know you're talking about allergens. And if you say cross-contamination, you're only talking about microorganisms.
All right. Thank you. So as we've been asking the questions to our two speakers and getting answers from them, some different polling questions have been appearing on the screen, and so we're hoping that you guys have all been responding to the polling questions. And a couple of the questions that have been were, how aware were you of the issues discussed today, and how would you rate your awareness? Was this webinar worth your time? And what's your greatest take-home point from today's seminar? And what's your likelihood of participating in a future seminar? So again, today's speakers have been Dennis D'Amico with the University of Connecticut, Assistant Professor of Animal Sciences, and Lori Babcock, the owner-operator of the Tieton Farm Creamery located in Tieton, Washington. And Dennis and Lori, we thank you very much for your participation today. So a major point that I want to emphasize, because we've had a couple questions on this, is the webinar will be available at a later date, and you will be able to be having information provided to you coming up here in just a moment. We are going to be having both a PDF available for download and a number of resources available to you. On your slide right now, you should be seeing the Food Safety for Farmstead and Artisan Cheesemaker workshop, and that's going to be held in Seattle, Washington on Friday, October 11th, and we welcome everyone to be joining us. We're going to have it available both in English and in Spanish, and we have a link to this workshop, again, on your site, and that will be a link to the information on the PDF download information that is coming out to you. And so the U.S. Dairy Innovation website has a lot more information and on training, and I understand that we will be seeing a link to where you can download all this information in one of the upcoming slides here. So on this slide, again, what area or topic of today's seminar would you like to see covered in future webinars? And if you could, we encourage you to use the Q&A chat section so we can provide information. would like to hear from you about more topics and presentations that you'd like to see. And here's the slide that talks about where we can get more information. This is where the speaker slide sets and access to the recorded version of the webinar will be at Ag in Uncertain Times website at aginuncertaintimes.farmmanagement.org. So again, that's on your slide currently, aginuncertaintimes.farmmanagement.org. So all the speaker slides will be there, the recorded version of the webinar, and other information that we're providing to you as resources will be available. If you would like to save this information, we have a file share window that's on your screen right now. So click on each file listed below to highlight it, and then click on Save to My Computer. So you should have a screen that just popped up on your computer, and you can upload the files by clicking on Upload File. At this point, I'm seeing that we're getting a lot of great topics and suggestions for future webinars and workshop information. So thank you very much, because you know this is our first beta test of doing one of these webinars. And again, I really want to thank everyone that's been participating. We couldn't be doing this without you. So again, just to kind of emphasize, the Washington State Department of Agriculture, we are actually hosting this webinar due to the fact that we actually had received a USDA risk management grant opportunity. We've been working in conjunction with the U.S. Dairy Innovation Center, with our partners from the Washington State Dairy Products Commission, the University of Connecticut, Washington State University. We actually even also have Montana State University, University of Wyoming, and let's see, I'm just making sure I have all of our partners, the Center for Farm and Financial Management, and of course, all of our speakers, Lori Babcock and Dennis D'Amico today. So again, I'd just like to do one more thank you to all of our participants today in our webinar. We sincerely hope that you find today's content of value in your work. We hope to see you again in one of our upcoming programs. And until then, we offer you our sincerest hope for success in meeting the challenges of today's uncertain times. Again, this is Claudia Coles with the Washington State Department of Agriculture, and I really appreciate your participation today. Thank you very much.